This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Let's get down to business. Give you one more night to get this. We've had a million.
All right, so this is the luxury of doing the show from home. We don't have to say we made it in studio, because that's exactly what would happen on a snow day like we're seeing in Toronto, where if we in the past actually went into the studio, we would pump each other's tires for the first 20 minutes of the show and say, look at us. I can't believe we made it. And then we would talk about how crazy the roads are. I haven't touched my keys today. I have not driven anywhere. I've just been outside shoveling a couple of times. The kids have been outside all day. It's wild, man. Crazy.
Let me ask you this. I'm in a different city, so I'm not experiencing it, but is it Army-like? Like, are we having, like, is it like, you know, you knew I was going to go there, right?
Absolutely.
Like, is it, is it calling in the National Guard? Where are we at here?
It's just don't leave your house. But the problem is, and people need to, we all need to, I know there's COVID and stuff, and people, like, we all need to go back and get our driver's license, first of all, because there's some weird stuff going on the roads. So before COVID, I don't even think it was there. But it's just like, you just see some silly things. Like, if you've got, like, a Hayes, what's that little golf cart, your car?
Yeah,
the golf.
Yeah, Volkswagen.
Dude,
golf.
If you've got a little Smurf car like that, you can't, like, why are you wheeling around town? I just had to get some random groceries, and there was three Smurf cars, like, just wheeled in the side. Oh, yeah, it's like, where the hell are you going?
Well, driving around. Usually on the 401, they're the fast. They're the ones that are driving
There's
the
always
fastest.
A Smurf car that'll go 140 by you in a blizzard.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And there's no way they have snow tires on either. That's the best part, because it's just something like, why would you need snow tires? We live in Canada, and you have 400,000 kilometers on your car that the average person could pick up with one hand and throw down the street if they really were in the mood to.
Yeah,
it's dangerous. It is dangerous, and you're right. Like, I haven't witnessed it because I haven't gone anywhere, but I was watching CP24 this morning, and occasionally, you know how they have those live shots of different spots around the city, different streets around the city, and they would be going from the, you know, here's 401 and Weston Road, and here's Don Valley Parkway and Eglinton, and they just, like, flip from one to the next. And occasionally, it was like roulette. You'd wait for it, you'd see one car, it would hit that screen, and this guy would be bombing it. Now, compared to the rest of the traffic, maybe he's only going 85 or 90. But if everyone else is going 40 and you're going 80, that's the equivalent of going 200 when everyone's going 100. You know, if you're going double the pace, it's crazy out there.
There's a video of Dougie Ford. He's shoveling somebody's, and he's got a like a Smurf shovel, and it's just
he's hiking a football. Like, he's hiking the football, which he hiked.
What is he doing?
I don't know who taught Doug Ford how to shovel snow. Now, I think
it's like somebody said, hey, give me that shovel quick. I got to do a little video here. And he grabbed some kid's shovel and started shoveling, and it's just outrageous.
It's through the legs, like he's tapping in point shots. He's Dave Andrechuk.
He is.
Driving around at Tobin.
He is Ronnie Franchise with the Pittsburgh Penguins tipping in shots in front through his legs. It is a stupid video. It is an outrageous video.
I never thought of it that way, but now that I'm watching it, I'm like, why is that's the worst form you've ever seen.
Dude, it's like his handler said, Dougie, grab a shovel right now doing something quickly. And he grabbed a kid's shovel and pushed the kid over and started just going between the five hole.
Yeah, it's a really weird technique. But he's out there. He's in the muck. I'll give him credit.
He's in the slop. And you know what? I want everyone to be safe. You know, I just like to tease. But if it's bad, stay home, man. Like, I saw, obviously, FaceTiming with Steph and looking out the window. Like, it's not good. It's not good. There's flights canceled everywhere. All hell breaking loose. You know, just be safe. That's the biggest thing.
And, that's all. That's all you can do. And everyone, honestly, I think it's a sign of COVID. And I understand I'm in a different bubble. Like, if you've been going to work and going to, you know, your place of business this whole time or whatever it might be, you've been living a different experience through this than I have. I understand that, and I'll grant everyone that. So I didn't really pay that much attention to it. I knew the snow was coming. You know, everyone's like, yeah, it's going to snow on Monday. Like, yeah, you know, we went for a walk yesterday. We met Kara and Bobby and her boys, went for a walk, and there's no snow, and it was nice weather. Right. And we're like, yeah, it might snow tomorrow. Like, there was nothing to it. We weren't paying attention. And maybe that's because I'm in the bubble I'm in. I opened my garage up this morning. I went out there at like 7:45.
Outrageous,
dude. It was up to my knees. Like, it was crazy how much snow there was. And that's a shock to the system. When you're not bracing for it, it's like in a movie where it came in overnight and it hit you. And anyway, I hope, you know, kids are outside enjoying a true snow day, having fun, which I think is happening through the city.
Yeah. What's the temperature like? Is it ugly cold? Like, is it minus 20 or?
It's windy. You know what the troll job is on a shovel? Is the wind, because if you shovel and you throw it towards a bank and the snow gets blown back at you, it's such a troll job. Like, we'll take the snow, fine, but don't add the wind into it, because then it just makes everything that much more difficult. But it's not too bad. It's not too bad. And I was thinking, if the Leafs or Raptors were playing at home tonight, would they postpone the game? Or be like, wow, we can't have a game with no fans.
The Leafs game is postponed.
Yeah, I know, but it was postponed well before the snow. They weren't playing Jersey tonight anyway.
You're asking if it was just standard stuff.
In the real world, if COVID never existed and this was just your standard January 17th, they probably would be playing, but it would be one of those 2,500 people in the stands.
There was a game I played with the Islanders years ago, and I happened to be living at the hotel right at the edge of the parking lot at the time. But we had no fans because, I think we ended up with, 1,100 people in the building, and it was people that, walked because it was such a blizzard. There were people that snowshoed and stuff and got there. This is New York.
Right.
But both teams played because we could get to the rink and the refs were there. So we played the game.
Why
not? It was like Pittsburgh. We played Pittsburgh in front of nobody because, you know, there was, like I say, there was 1,000 people there. But because everyone was available that needed to be available, they're like, yeah, we're going ahead with it. So it was kind of crazy. You know, that was we're talking early 90s. So this was long before COVID and empty buildings and stuff. That was a weird experience that night.
That would be weird. That's the shock to the system. That's the equivalent of opening up the garage when you didn't expect that much snow. When you're used to a full building and then there's nothing, you know, and that's what the Leafs will get on the way back, and I guess the Raptors would get on the way back, because when all of this, the Leafs in particular, when everything hit, I guess, with Omicron and the shutdown, and they had COVID ripped through their room, and then the Christmas break, they didn't play again until January 1st, which was a home game against Ottawa. So they eased back into kind of the unofficial second half of the season with no fans in the stands, and then they played another home game with no fans in the stands, and now they've been on the road, Colorado, Vegas. It was an electric atmosphere, I thought, on Saturday night in St. Louis. You're down there right now, Noodles. Were you at the game on Saturday? Did you make it down there? Or?
No, I didn't. I didn't go in on Saturday. I was actually originally scheduled to, but it's just I've had so much on my plate. So I switched my flight into yesterday and then went and spent last night with Pronger and all that, and going to the game tonight. That's why I have to leave the show an hour early, because I'm going for the ceremony and that. But I had a good chat with some of the guys. Some of the Blues guys were kicking around, and even though they lost that game, they were like, you know, it was a really good game. Like, I think the Blues are a good team. We obviously know the Leafs are a really good team. That was kind of a crazy game. And I said today on the lunch, I don't know, the league is becoming just one word. It's not hockey, it's goalie. Either you get a save or you don't. I mean, we'll get to Edmonton, but it's more about that night. Like, I didn't particularly think Campbell played great.
Binnington was worse, but
Binnington was worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're like, it happens that night. It was great to see a lot of skill on display. There were some good goals and stuff happening, but it wasn't a seesaw battle of like, hey, great save and then great plays and that. It had a weird feel. The Leafs get up and then battle back, and then it just had a weird feeling. I don't know how you guys felt about it.
I thought it was thoroughly entertaining, clearly. I mean, those type of games are awesome when you got lead changes or blown leads and a lot of scoring. Exactly. I think it was imperative the Leafs walked away with 2 points. Even if it had to be in a shootout, they could not blow another 3-1 lead on this road trip without heads exploding. And Sheldon Keefe, I don't think he was ecstatic after the game, but I think you got to give credit to the Leafs for the resilience because sure. it is easy for you to get down when you're blowing leads. They blew a 4-1 lead in Colorado. They blew a 3-1 lead in Vegas. And they're up 3-1 again in St. Louis, and that got away from them pretty quickly. And it can, I'm sure it can have a bit of a mental hold on you. Like, here we go again. We're going to do this again. Because, you know, they're talking about it in between games. Sure. Like, come
and
on.
And, Hayes, it just turns into amateur hour. Like, they start doing stupid stuff, and then the goaltender has a blip, and they pass up pucks and give it away. I don't know. Like, you can just brush it off and say, what the hell, they got this amount of points on the road trip. But if that doesn't kind of get your attention a little bit, it should. I think it should.
I mean, there's a couple things that stood out for me is, you know, they're the tightness of their system has been slipping a little bit. Now, you're playing some pretty good teams, too, so you have to give credit to where credit's due. Like Colorado that night, like, you know, that kind of just got away from them, and I thought Campbell was brilliant to keep it close. Arizona, that should have been a win. The goalie steals it for Arizona. That's, you know, you're seeing a unicorn that night. But you are seeing, if Campbell isn't sharp, you know, they're giving up some grade A's. And, you know, that's something I think they just got to reel back in. But again, you know, they're playing some pretty good teams here. Like, I think St. Louis is a really good team. And they were missing, what, 3-4 guys of their big boys, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Tarasenko didn't play. Shen didn't play. Pareko didn't play. Who else am I missing? There was one other, I think. But, you know, ultimately, you know, they got the 2 points. But there is probably something to be said to be like, hey, let's take a peek at what we can control, and that's tightening up, you know, some of the critical areas on the ice. And again, I thought there was a couple guys on the back end that had tough nights too, where you're wanting a little bit more out of. But you know what? We
that
can't
has
sit
to
down
be
and
sorted out. Yeah, that.
Yes,
I mean, there are multiple ways to look at this. Ultimately, big picture in terms of the regular season, this is a Maple Leaf team that is really chugging. I mean, they're. You're looking at a scenario here where I would argue the top end of the Atlantic is the toughest, deepest, best top four in hockey, where Florida is an absolute juggernaut. The offensive outpouring that they're putting in every single night is outrageous.
Crazy.
Tampa, I still contend, is the best team in the league. Like, until someone proves otherwise, I'm going to war with Tampa. And Boston's absolutely humming again, and they got Tuukka coming back. So they're in a good spot. Then you throw the Leafs in there, and the Leafs, all they've done for the last 30 games is win. So you got those four teams that are going to fight it out and battle it out for top three and probably the top wild card spot, or give or take. So big picture, you look at it, the Leafs are winning a ton of games. They've been through COVID. They're playing in front of an empty building. Like, there's a lot of different built-in excuses that I think are legitimate that you can grant them. But it always is going to come back to, okay, when you look at what they're trying to achieve and where they're trying to get to, which ultimately is going to be playoff success, it is about learning from experiences against the best teams. And if and when you play a high-end team like a St. Louis, like a Vegas, like Colorado, you get yourself a 3-1 lead in game 5 of a cup final or something, you better hold
close
on.
Close it out. Close
you
it
you
out.
Better close. You don't want to be grinding in the third. So that would be the messaging. For sure. And I thought Marner had hop. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I thought he looked good. Matthews looked really good again. That was the Matthews trip. Like, that was the Austin Matthews trip. I thought he was spectacular pretty much night in, night out. And, you know, it's nitpicking, but it wasn't a perfect trip, even though it could have been in terms of them picking up all four wins, because they blow a point in Colorado, and the one game they lose was against the worst team in the league.
Incredible.
Right. It's crazy.
And they got one more, which, I mean, the trip is the trip, but, like, did they just go straight to New York? What do you think they made of it?
I practiced that home today.
Yeah, they flew home. So they came home. They'll fly back down in New York tomorrow, and then I would guess they stay down there because I think they're against the Islanders on the weekend.
Yeah, they are. And that Rangers team is a pretty good team, too. So there's a lot of measuring stick games kind of in their wheelhouse right now, and you know, they're right there. It's good. And you're right. Nitpicking. They got the 2 points they needed to on the weekend. What a bad goal to give. I mean, good for Mikheyev. You know what?
Yeah, he's potting goals, man.
Like, good for him. Because, I guess, last year and a half, he would just bury it into the chest and that's it. And we talked about it the other day. He had that breakaway on Matt Murray that hit the middle of the net. Like, that honestly, on times where
his move finally worked. He hit the middle of the net and went in. I loved it.
But and he threw it towards the net. When you're having just a good streak or good luck, pucks like that go in. You know, like that And it's a bad play by Bennington.
He's
exactly.
That.
That's like my point. Is good on him. You know?
Yeah, he's thrown a lot of stuff at the net over the past couple of years, and a lot of them have not gone in. He was
right.
Due for some puck luck, and it's a bad goal. Bennington's clearly got to stop that, but the Leafs will take it. The Leafs will take it, and they end up going 2-1-1 on a very tough trip. Like, that's as tough of a trip as you're going to find outside of the Arizona game. But Colorado, Vegas, St. Louis on the road. Like, that's really difficult, and it's a two-way street in terms of that litmus test. You know, the other teams are saying, here come the Leafs, and here comes Matthews, and he's cooking. And so the Leafs are off until Wednesday when they're back in New York taking on the Rangers down at the Garden. That'll be a fun game. We'll tee that up throughout the day. There was a ton to get into over the course of the weekend. The NFL, I think, supplied what would be expected in terms of you have this many games, you're going to get a couple of duds. And that's what happened. And it just so happened to be the seventh seeds that supplied the worst games. Philly didn't show up. Pittsburgh didn't show up. The two seeds in Tampa and Kansas City absolutely blew the doors off.
It was clearly evident, Hazy, that it was like there is some teams that are ready to compete for the Super Bowl. And then, like, then there's the next level of those two teams you just mentioned, or two or three teams you just mentioned. And then think about how bad the rest of the nonsense is after that when you get down to Houston and Jacksonville.
Oh, it's so much further down.
Dude, they're in a different league. Different league?
Different league.
Tell me what you guys thought of that play last night in Dallas. Like, was that a bad play call at the end? Was that on the ref? I thought the ref was like, get the hell out of the way. They know what they're trying to do. Like, is there an argument to be had there, or is that clearly on the play call in the last 10 seconds?
There's a bunch of guys, and I'm not going to – I'll let Hazy come over the top rope. But it's almost like Mike McCarthy comes under the spotlight again for the Dallas Cowboys, where – people were saying that's not a badly designed play, but what the hell's the quarterback thinking about giving it to the center? As you know, you have to give that ball to the referee for him to place it on the ground. So it was kind of amateur hour on all levels, but there was holding penalties prior to that, and it was just like, and for me, the spotlight goes right back on the coach, where it's like Mike McCarthy coach teams, clock management and some of the penalties and the decisions. It's like, man, oh, man, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, he's going to have to chew on that for sure.
Dude, it's a fireball offense, honestly. Like, if the players, they know Hazy. They're the first to know where it's like, if we're going to get to the next level, I'm not going to say a better coach, a smarter coach. Like, a smarter coach.
That's his reputation. Like, Mike McCarthy has been known for – now, this is a guy who goes to the playoffs all the time. He's won Super Bowl like he did in Green Bay. Like, his resume pops. You know, you look at – you take his name off it and just look at the resume, you'd say that's a high-end coach. But his reputation precedes him. He is a guy that his clock management is horrendous. A lot of times he looks as if he has lost control. Like, he hands over.
Dude, he gets scrabble face cooking.
He does.
It's intense.
Like, he feels more like a baseball manager as opposed to a football coach. In other words, he allows his coordinators or whomever it is to make the calls, and then he'll sit there and say, what the hell was that? And it's like, you're the coach, though. Like, you could have said, no, we're not doing that. You have the ultimate power. Like, you make the play call. It will be changed if you decide to do it. And I get the impression, and I always have with McCarthy, which I'm sure makes him a great guy to work for, because I do think he allows you autonomy. I think he allows you space. And I think he allows you to go out there and work the game plan and call it like you see it if you're an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, or a quarterback. Now, McCarthy deserves heat. I think Dak deserves 95% of the heat. He was awful yesterday. Dak Prescott is getting paid like a top five quarterback in the league. This guy went 23 for 43 yesterday. 23 for 43. A touchdown.
Nonsense,
a pick. That's terrible. On turf at home. Right? It's one thing if it's minus 15 with the wind and snowing outside. You're on the road. Even then, you're a high-end quarterback getting paid. You got to perform. Talk to Josh Allen. We saw that on Saturday. We'll talk about that momentarily. On turf, at home, controlled environment, that's not the 85 Bears. Like, the Niners have a pass rush, but Joey Bosa was out early. Nick Bosa was out of the game in the first half. So their number one pass rushing threat was out of the game, and Dak was – I thought he was awful last night. And for him to – when he was asked about, you know, the fans throwing stuff at the players, his initial reaction, and then when he was told actually they were throwing it at the refs, for him to say, oh, well, from that standpoint, full credit, good for you.
Dude,
is
the
so
first
lame.
Comment when he thought the, you know, like, If the fans knew how, the fans don't care. You get paid to put in. Everybody goes to work every
exactly.
day and puts. And he was like, we do the, you know, how much time we put in and work and blah, blah, blah. It was like hardworking people that pay $1 zillion to go to a football game could care less how much work you put in day in and day out.
Right,
you,
exactly.
And it's I say it all the time. You're paid like that. Him and Zeke and the rest of the crew there, they're paid like that for wins. They're paid
exactly.
like that for playoff wins in that situation, in that building, and they just couldn't do it, man.
It was a weird
scene. I tell you every year, it's just going to be the overhype machine again, and they're going to make off-season transactions, probably sign or draft a receiver, and then they're going to be like, oh, they're so scary. Oh, they're the best team. And then they just pull this nonsense.
Yeah, they do it every year. I saw Phil Yates tweeted out last night, the Cowboys have now gone 11 straight playoff appearances without reaching a conference championship game. That's the longest streak of any team in NFL history.
Yeah. And, Hayes, guess what people come back with when you start carving Dallas Cowboys about lack of playoff success? Guess what?
The snow day? The team in Toronto? The team
that
lives in this city?
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, they're Dallas Maple Leafs.
You can't argue against it.
No, you can't. You have no comeback. You have no comeback.
You cannot argue against it. The loudest team, loudest fan base, most coverage, highest ratings, most hype, and the facts are the facts, man. Like, the Cowboys – they've started 2022 in style. Let's hope the Leafs break through that and go a different direction come the spring. But we'll get into this with Herm Edwards. Herm will join us in about 5 minutes. We'll get that answer from him, a coach and a former player. What did he make of the QB draw at the end of the game? What went wrong for the Cowboys? What did he make of all the different games, including what the Bills did on Saturday night? You look at the stats. Yeah. Some people are arguing the greatest offensive production in the history of the National Football League. That's how good that Bills offense was on Saturday night. We'll see what Herm Edwards can tell us about that. Marcellus Wiley coming up later this afternoon. Rick Tockett will join us. The Raptors are in Miami tonight, but Lowry's not playing. He's not playing. We'll get into that as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
My bad habits lead to late nights.
All right, so we got a Monday nighter tonight. I love it. This Super Wild Card weekend. We got Monday Night Football. It's a playoff game. The Rams are at home against Arizona. So we'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. And a man is very familiar with the state of Arizona. He's down there, the head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils and longtime NFL player and head coach, former ESPN NFL analyst, one of our favorites, Herm Edwards joins us now. How you doing, Herm?
I'm well, man. A lot of I couldn't stand all the football that was happening this weekend. I kept saying, I forgot they added more teams, right? And,
right.
It was exciting football. A lot of quarterbacks, really, when you look at all these games that were played out, it was really quarterback-driven.
Yeah, I mean, that's been kind of where the NFL's been going for a while, especially with the rule changes and the amount of points being put up on the board. You're a former player, former coach, I would assume somewhat of an old-school guy. Do you like this style, or would you like something somewhat of a hybrid to what we used to see?
Well, I think that's the way it's headed, and a lot of it, you can see a lot of these college offenses and these quarterbacks that have been very successful in college, now all of a sudden they're playing at the pro level. You know, it's become now with the quarterback, it used to be 11 on 10 in pro football, where the quarterback didn't run a lot, right? So you had an advantage. Now it's an 11 on 11 like in college football when you have a quarterback that has the ability to leave the pocket and make plays.
Herm, give us your breakdown of that play in Dallas last night. It was a polarizing play.
Yeah.
Everyone's got different points and views about it. Quarterback's fault, coach's call. What do you make of it, and what's your breakdown of it?
Well, I think this, and I've known Mike for a long time. He worked on my staff when he was a young coach in Kansas City. And I thought it wasn't a bad call. A couple of things come to mind after you make a call like that. The urgency to give the ball to the official is critical. Now, the timing of it all, that has a lot to do with it, but that was the big error by the quarterback. You got to give the ball to the official. When you get in a two-minute situation where you have no timeouts, you can't get out of bounds, you know you're trying to clock it. The key is whether you're a receiver or whoever you may be, the first thing you do is when you get tackled or slide, you look for the official and you give him the ball so he can spot the ball. That didn't take place. Gave it to the center, and then the center spots the ball. The official runs in. He has to touch the ball to be spotted. You run out of time. Now, I don't know if that would have gave him a second, more or two, if he would have got it down, but just like anything else, you know, always going to question something like that. It makes good for radio, makes good for television the next day. You just don't want to be on the end of it and be in the discussion for that one.
No,
we've all been there before as coaches.
Absolutely, and ultimately Mike McCarthy's going to answer for it. And for me, McCarthy's taking heat, understandably so. I think too much. I think the official and him catching up to the line of scrimmage is taking too much heat. For me, it's all about Dak Prescott. Like what you just said, you learn as a kid, as a quarterback, you got to find the ref, not your center. And I thought he was very inefficient last night. Like, that's a controlled environment on turf, weather's perfect, home field. As I said, you're not going up against the 85 Bears defense last night. Nick Bosa went out in the first half. I thought he was borderline awful, like based on what I expect. And for me, the heat should be on Dak Prescott today. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, the heat goes on everybody, but obviously it always surrounds the quarterback and the head coach. I mean, that's just part of it. You know that going into it when you're a head coach at any level. If the quarterback misses some throws, makes a decision or two that you wish you could take back, he has to deal with that along with the head coach. So that's just the way it goes. And I think any quarterback knows that at any level now that you know, when you don't make a couple throws, you wish you could have them back. But I thought the fouls were a big part of it, too. The non-combative fouls, right, when the ball is not snapped, those kind of hurt them, too. It kind of sent them. Like, you know, 14 fouls, I mean, that's a lot of fouls in a football game, right? And the one that gets you the worst is not the competitive ones where you're trying to make a play. It's the ones when the ball doesn't move. It's the concentration fouls.
We're chatting with Herm Edwards. So I would say the polar opposite of that was the Saturday night game in Buffalo where it's freezing cold. Bill Belichick staring at you. And that Bills offense went out there. No kicks, no punts, no turnovers, no fourth down attempts, no failed fourth down attempts. As a football lifer, how do you put that into perspective, what Allen and the Bills did on Saturday night?
It was, you know, they got off to a hot start, and you said, well, eventually it'll slow down. It never slowed down. Well, it was the first five possessions they scored.
Right.
They just kept scoring. I was like, whoa. You know, and you're talking about a team that's very well coached in the New England Patriots. And the quarterback play was outstanding, along with the receivers catching the ball in conditions. You know, on television it doesn't look cold, but I promise you. And I've played in a couple of those games, never that cold, but cold. I mean, I get it. I the Minnesota Vikings, I used to call them when they were the real Vikings, they played outside, right? And not the ones that play in the dome,
right?
But outside up there against Bud Grant and, you know, and Fran Tarkin and those guys. And I tell you what, it looked like it was a normal day for the Buffalo Bills, the way they threw it and caught it.
Absolutely. Again, Allen, as far as we know, did something in a playoff game on Saturday we've never seen before. 300 plus passing yards, 5+ passing touchdowns, and 60 rushing yards, which speaks to what you were saying earlier, right, Herm, about the mobility of these guys. And then, you know, 24 hours later, Mahomes scores 5 touchdowns quicker than anyone's ever done. And I'm curious, if you're a coach in the AFC and you know that Josh Allen's in his mid-20s, Mahomes is in his mid-20s, Herbert's in his mid-20s, Lamar Jackson's in his mid-20s, and Joe Burrow's in his mid-20s. If you don't have one of those five guys, what are you saying to your GM or ownership about realistic expectations in the AFC?
Well, you know, here's what you do know. When you have a guy like that, a couple things come to mind. When those Sunday games come about and you go to sleep on Sunday or Saturday night, you sleep good because you know you've got a guy that – will make plays, and really, this is what's really good about having a guy like that. If you can keep him healthy and just collectively get the parts around him to stay in operation, you have to make some changes every once in a while because the salary cap will get you. You're going to make a 10-year run with that guy. You're going to have a 10-year run. I mean, you are. You just are. And if you look at any coach that stayed in a place for a long time, and you can go all the way back to the era I played, the coach and the quarterback are tied together. And when that guy can play at that level for 10 years, you're going to be in a lot of playoff games. Now, you might not always get the Super Bowl, but you're going to always kind of be in the hunt, right? Because that guy in the fourth quarter on the road, he's going to win the game for you. He's going to take the team down the field and going to put points on the board and win the game. The last possession, that's what the good ones do.
Do you just think – I wouldn't say foregone conclusion, but would you – you know – put your thought process to it being just maybe Kansas City and Tampa Bay as the two strongest teams, or who do you see as the two strongest teams that may look like they're headed towards the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, Kansas City, obviously, they've done it, you know, and Captain America, you never count out Captain America, right? I'm talking about exactly. Tom Brady, I call it Captain America. And, you know, those are the teams I think a lot of people are looking at. But the way Buffalo played now, you know, they've got a heady defense as well. And Cincinnati, this quarterback and this wide receiver, I tell you what, I haven't seen anybody stop them yet.
Right.
I just have. I mean, every time I turn around, he throws it to one and he catches it. And then he runs with it. I mean, it's just it's fun to kind of watch. The 49ers are sneaky because they're the team, when you watch them play, they can run the ball effective enough to take possessions away from you and just grind you up, you know. And they got a pretty good front. They can rush you with four guys. Now, their secondary, that's the one, you know, they're kind of like, ugh. But everything else, as far as what they do in playoff games, and, you know, they have a team, and they're the team, the only one that went on the road to win. They got a defense that can rush the quarterback. They have a run game that can take possessions away from you, and they do just enough to keep the game close.
With Herm Edwards, we've got a Monday nighter tonight. Again, the Rams at home against Arizona, and two quarterbacks who are different stages of their career. Stafford's been around for a long time. Kyler Murray only into his third season. Both first overall picks, though, and both share the same thing in common. They haven't won any playoff games. Murray's never played in one. Stafford's barely played in any because he was in Detroit. Does that factor into the way you see this playing out tonight, the lack of experience in the playoffs and lack of success for both quarterbacks?
I don't know that so much as the defensive lines, to me, are the ones that will dictate who wins this game, the fronts. Mm-hmm. And they both these teams have really good front people when you think about the front four that are getting after the quarterback and stopping the run. Arizona the same way. I think – you know, the thing that Murray has, his ability to create, that's what scares you about him. And if you get him on the edge, he can outrun a lot of people. Stafford's not, he's going to do it in the pocket. But he's got a fabulous receiver that always finds a way to get open.
Yep.
You know, and he can throw the ball down the field with accuracy. So this is all about the front four, in my opinion, is that who can put the pressure on the quarterback to get him uncomfortable. And then if you put the pressure on Murray, you got to be able to make sure you can tackle him. You got to tackle him. You know, here's where they where Arizona makes it hard on you. They make you play 11 on 11. They've created a balanced playing field now. You have to account for the quarterback, even when you rush. Because if you let him get out, he's going to make first downs with his legs.
We chatted with Herm Edwards, the head coach down in Arizona State. I remember we had you on probably a year and a half ago. It's crazy that we're still kind of living in this COVID world, and we're asking you about what it was like recruiting, and you're saying, man, we're doing Zoom meetings, we're doing everything we can over the phone, email, text. Are you through that? Are you back in person trying to recruit, or how's everything going on that front?
We're still Zooming some, but coaches can go out. We're going out. We've had a few visits. I think what's changed since the last time I talked to you guys is the portal.
Right.
You know, it's free agency in college football. It's true free agency. It really is. Right. And there's, wow. You know, the sad part for some of these young people that are putting their names in the portal, there's 6,500 kids in the portal. Think about that.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, that's a lot of guys in the portal. And all of them aren't going to find places to go.
No, exactly. Exactly. There's only so many spots.
Yeah, there's only so many spots. You know, now we've kind of gone portal heavy. We've probably got 10, 11 guys. That we can bring in here and revamp our roster because we lost so many guys this year. We lost about 21 guys, but we've dipped into the portal to get some guys and some experience from all over the place. But this is a new world, this portal thing now.
That's right.
It's going to change college football.
Well, we wish you nothing but success with that. Best of luck as always. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Herm.
Thank you, guys. You guys enjoyed it as well.
You got it. There's Herm Edwards, the head coach down in Arizona State, longtime NFL coach. NFL player, you play to win the game, as Herm would say.
Yeah,
play to win the game.
And we got a ball game tonight, and the pick has already been in. I have been quiet on this through 40 minutes. I have not had myself a good time so far early into the playoffs.
Wow. There's a guy in a hot tub in Niagara who is quite happy with himself, I must say.
Yeah. He is enjoying himself. I will say that.
I mean, that had to be crushing, though. He loves the Bills. I know he's a Colts guy and it's the AFC, but he's a Niagara Falls guy. And to be on the Pats on Saturday night, how he took the Patriots. That one stung. But who am I to speak when I took the Pittsburgh Steelers? I'm 0-2. I need a win tonight to get off the mat.
Has that selection already been made?
Yeah, I'm on the Rams. It's already in the tank. I'm on the Rams. -4, I think, tonight.
Did Big Ben say he's done? Did he come out and say it yet or no?
It hasn't been an official statement. I'm wondering.
He could be sniffing. You never know. But he is
on
done.
What?
I know. He can't play.
He can't throw the ball with any accuracy down the field, man. They had 6 punts in the first half. Like, it was so infuriating to bet that team and just three and out, punt.
I saw the preview coming. I threw it into the group text about an hour early, and you were like, weird text or weird comment or something. And I'm like, I was getting mad because I was sitting, we were sitting watching football, and that game was being previewed and coming up. And I'm like, every time I see this guy, like, I think he's done.
Yeah.
Like, he just, like, and it was, like, I guess a poorly timed text because the game wasn't even going on yet. But I was like, I think this guy's done. And
don't kid yourself, man. He could have his agent on the horn saying, and he could do the Marty Brodeur to St. Louis for a year. Mm-hmm. God knows, like, these guys have a hard time. Like, you actually know physically, like, you're not as good, obviously, as you used to be. But the idea of never doing it again and the spotlight and the travel, like, it grinds right at that moment of truth on guys. So you don't know where his head's at as far as his future.
I totally agree with that assessment. You look at
It would have been like it would have been more hazy, like, I really want to thank Tomlin. I want to thank – there was none of that, man. All he said was God gave me the gift to throw a football.
He didn't close the door.
You know, he did not.
I think he realizes that to start camp anyway, the Steelers' door is closed. I wonder if he's waiting out hope that they go with Mason Rudolph or someone else, and it's awful, and 3 or 4 weeks into the season they call him up and say, do you have anything left? Like, do you want to try to come back?
Dude, you cannot open that door again. You cannot.
I wouldn't if I was Pittsburgh. I wouldn't either. But, like, Philip Rivers is an example. They were in the same draft. They're the same age. Rivers was with the Chargers his whole career, and then he said, I'll do one more dance in Indianapolis. And I wouldn't be surprised if Roethlisberger was telling his agent, if a team that we believe can win calls me up, I might be willing to go. You know, and I don't know what that team would be right now. And again, when you look at, like, watching these quarterbacks over the weekend, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, they're all in the AFC. Justin Herbert's in the AFC. Lamar Jackson's in the AFC. Like, if you have Roethlisberger or Baker Mayfield or Carson Wentz, you're done. Like, you can't keep up with these guys. Burrow, Mahomes, and Allen are going to own the AFC for the next 10 years.
They'll outplay make you every game. Every damn game.
Like, look at the – I thought, like, Burrow's stats weren't off the charts. I thought he looked really composed.
Dude,
like,
what about
really
his –
really composed.
He's my new guy, but his glasses were so stupid looking. I'm just like, you're ruining the whole Joey B thing. Like, they were like Backstreet Boys right in their prime. They were terrible for Joey B, the glasses.
Yeah, he was trying too hard, I think. You know, like,
he's trying to get this, like, Cincy bad boy thing cooking, but the glasses were outrageous and they were offside, like 5-minute major for inappropriate eyewear.
Yeah, it was an infraction from Burrow. But if you win and you get the cigars going, like in Cincinnati, they don't care. He can go up there in a garbage bag.
Dude, he's good, man.
He's really good. Really composed. And Ja'Marr Chase is an absolute superstar. And the Bengals are a fun team. And, you know, I think Bengals-Tennessee feels almost like a consolation prize. Yeah. Like, whoever wins that game, you get to go play Kansas City or Buffalo and probably lose.
And, Hazy, if you remember back to the draft, I think Cincy was taking some heat for that pick. They were like, they need help on defense. They don't need this pick, but what a pick. Like, his former teammate, how do you not make that selection?
He called it, too, right? And Chase took the whole year off, too, didn't even play. And he still was like, that's the guy. Yeah, for sure. Rick Tocchet coming up in 20 minutes. His take on the Leafs trip, what he saw to the Leafs on Saturday night. We'll get into what's going on out in Edmonton where, like, it's not a good place right now.
Oh, no, it's terrible.
It's an awful place in Edmonton, and everyone looks miserable, and it's not good. So we'll get to that, and the Raptors are in Miami tonight. We got a Monday night football game as well, a big playoff game out in L.A. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN app.
Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
All right, so a bunch of afternoon games going on. It's Martin Luther King Day, and there's a hockey game going on in San Jose, I believe it is. The Sharks are up 4-0 in the first. Timo Meier's got a hat trick in the first period. So,
not a nice start. Like, I don't know how you
always. Best.
Oh, did you ever have a game where you scored too early or something like that where you're just like, man, I'm playing with house money here tonight? Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh,
rest of the
you know what I mean?
Do you change the game plan once a couple go in early? You're like, I'm on Mario watch right now. So,
yeah.
It's just amazing, Noodles. It's like anything else. Your confidence is through the roof. It's like you can do no wrong. And then when you're struggling, it's just like you're turning the puck over. The coach is yelling at you. It's the best feeling on earth to be on fire because you can do no wrong. And even if you screw up, the coach is like, ah, good try. Where if it's not working for you, it's a totally different ball game.
Well, if you're on hat trick watch early on, like I think there was – wasn't a game that long ago Matthews had like two early on, and you're like, man, you know, now it's just, is he going to get a hat trick? Is he not?
Dude, or that's what's crazy about this guy, Noodles, right now. It's like he I told you guys, you weren't buying it when I had a Jerry's percentage on him getting back in the Rocket, and he is chipping away, and it's almost like he's not even on fire yet.
Well,
you know what I mean?
He's
like
on fire,
he chips.
Is he not?
Yeah, he does, but it's like the one goal. Like, imagine if this guy was, like, massively on fuego where it was, like, I don't know. I just don't think he's, like, on fire yet. It's like the chip away goals and he's back into the race.
I think he's so good at scoring goals. He's the best goal scorer, pure goal scorer in the league. He's the best. And he's so good at it that he needs one opportunity. I think the point you're making is it's not like he, you know, 14 shots, three, you know, seven hits, dominating, you know, yeah. 5 points in a game. It's just goal here, goal there. It's every night he's scoring.
Well, I mean, quite yeah, literally that's on the right. I think night. What you're saying 2-0 is like there's nights where I don't think he's really good and the puck just comes to him and he scores. So he'll
but
like
my
score
point
a goal
is, what
where
if he has those
that night.
Like what if he has a back to back one? Like what I'm trying to say is he hasn't had that back to back where it's like two goals one night, three or four the next night where it's like take a massive leap on a back-to-back. Because
which is Ovi's wheelhouse, right? Like Ovechkin's been doing it his whole career where he'll score 12 goals in four games.
Yeah, like he always starts the season with 9-11 or whatever he does.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Out of the gate, he's got like 10 goals after nine games.
The only thing I've noticed, I don't know how you guys, like obviously you watch like Draisaitl has cooled off, Matthews has heated up. Ovi's been very consistent, scored an empty netter the other day, scored a power play goal yesterday. But, like, there's some new guys in the game now a little bit. Like, DeBrincat's kicking around. Troy Terry's a good young player. Like, you know, Kyle Connor's at 20. Like, you know, I think they'll separate as the season goes on. But it's just, it's kind of nice to, when you're watching the race, like, it's not just the, here we, you know, there's three guys at it again. You know, it's kind of like there's some new names and maybe guys that are pushing through that or might be the future kind of thing. Like that Terry kid looks like he's going to be a hell of a player. He is already, but
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
No, exactly. There's going to be layers to this. There's going to be the regular. Like I think now, I mean, I haven't looked at it out of Vegas recently. I'd be shocked if Matthews wasn't the favorite to win the Rocket, which did happen quickly. I will admit with his coming off the surgery, missed some games, you know, 5-on-5 play, I think, is where he's really elevated recently. He didn't start the year well 5-on-5. Like, he was racking up a lot of power play points and a lot of power play goals. And I think this trip in particular, it's like that 5-on-5 play has really stood out to me because they're not sheltering him anymore. Like, not that they should be, but it's like, you want to put Ryan O'Reilly on? Go ahead. Like, Matthews has got him. You want McKinnon on him? Go ahead. We're good with that. Who do you want to throw at him? Because he's so good, and he's playing so well right now, I think, on both ends of the ice, that the opposition is the one that has to think about how they're going to game plan against him. Like, that's when you know you've arrived, where it's not like, you know, we'll try to sneak in a shift here or there. Wow, this guy might get him. It's the opposition's trying to avoid him as much as possible, or realizing that they have to do whatever they can to shut him down.
Yeah,
So I think he's been spectacular. I think this
he has.
Is as
I liked that matchup the other night. Like, I thought O'Reilly played really well too.
I forget
how good of a player he is. He's really rounded, eh? Like, he's got a good stick and heavy on his
good
stick
hands.
And,
like, that goal he scored at Tye, that's a nice goal. Like, he's a really good. Like, we established it on Friday after Doug Armstrong hung up. Like, he would have been one of the 10 locks to make Canada.
Yeah,
like, Ryan O'Reilly was going, and
he's a guy that probably won't be
in the run 4 years from now. But
yeah, that was a nice matchup to watch the other night. Like, O'Reilly scores early, then Matthews goes back. Like, it was kind of neat to see, like, you know, two real good players kind of going head to head, and both of them, you know, had good nights too.
Yeah,
like
it was
nice to watch.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll get into it with Rick Tocchet, but I think it's safe to say Matthews should be kind of leader in the clubhouse if you're projecting who's going to have the most goals. Like, he's one back of Ovi. Ovi's played six more games than him, and Ovi's been spectacular this year. That's how good Matthews has been, and he's scoring every night on the road, quite literally, 10 games in a row on the road. Rick Tocchet, Marcellus Wiley will join us in the next hour. Raptors in action tonight as well. We'll tee that up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca.